Welcome to Accept Your Gifts, the 22-minute podcast for inspiring your most creative life. My name is Tracy Crow. I'm an author, writing coach, and Marine Corps veteran. I'm looking forward to co-creating today's show with you. So if you're ready, are you ready? I'm ready. So if you're ready to live a more creative, more magical life, let's get started. My core. I'm a storyteller, and so it makes sense to begin our inaugural podcast with a little story. And I will, but first, I want to share my overall concept for these 22-minute podcast I'm calling Accept Your Gifts. My hope is that all of you listening will consider each of these segments as valuable opportunities to co-create a little magic with me and with our co-listeners, something that will replenish the well of our creative spirits, and even unleash our inner artist. We all have one, you know. Because of day jobs or responsibilities as parents, or because of health challenges or any number of external pressures, it's no wonder we sometimes feel as if we're unraveling from the very center of ourselves, or perhaps detaching more and more from the creative outlets we once found pleasurable. And the further we detach from our innate desire to create, the less connected we feel to our truest selves and even to others in the world. So this can begin to feel a little as if our lives are in a free fall, spiraling out of control, as if we're seemingly tethered to nothing these days but guilt, shame, fear, and regret that are only too happy to show up and replace our loss called creative joy. So I formed this podcast because I've been hearing from writing clients, writer friends, and other fellow artists that their inner artist has become elusive, even gone into hiding altogether for some. As a friend recently blurted, "Who feels inspired to create art these days when the whole world feels plunged into chaos?" I get it, truly. I've been there too. When life circumstances have felt so uncomfortable that the act of writing has been nearly impossible. After a painful divorce when I just couldn't draft more than a sentence or two a day, I finally gave in and turned to reading the great works by others. Some were classics, and some were by today's great writers, such as Didion and Allende. What I soon realized is that by reading, I was still writing in my head, that I was reconnecting with the story of my own life as I read the stories created by other writers. This is what I believe memoirist Patricia Hampel had in mind when she wrote in an essay about the value of storytelling, "You give me your story, I get mine." Ooh, don't you love that? You give me your story, I get mine. I so get that. Because even right now, while I'm sharing parts of my story, a part of you is connecting to a part of your own story. And this is what I mean by co-creating today's listening experience. What I would also recognize after the passing of that difficult and painful time, when I returned to creating with words once again, is that I was a better writer. That chaos that had seemingly zapped away my innate creative desire had gifted me with a valuable slowdown, allowing me to learn more about myself and about the craft of writing from others. In the decade that has now passed since that painful divorce, I've published 6 books and a number of individual essays and short stories. What felt 10 years ago like a total shutdown or meltdown of my inner artist was actually the gestation period before a burst of sustained creativity. Does that make sense? Everyone has a story, of course, and a story that matters. And whatever modality our inner artist prefers for self-expression, whether through writing, painting, gardening, composing, crafting, acting, sculpting, singing, or dancing, to name a few, it's all a conversation we've had numerous times with our inner artist, though we might not be consciously aware of those conversations. The subconscious memory of them, however, returns often, doesn't it, to knock gently against our heart to say, "Remember me? Remember how you felt that day you captured the light just right in that painting? Remember how you felt when you wrote that line of dialogue that was magically, mysteriously whispered in your ear and you surrendered to it, allowing just the right tones of words and sounds to appear on the page? And how even months later, when you return to read those words, they still strike the same blissful resonance within your spirit. Remember me?" So I formed this podcast, Accept Your Gifts, as what I hope you'll come to consider a safe space for artistic exploration, a time and space for rediscovering and nurturing ourselves as creator beings. After all, we can't help but create. We are creating in every single moment. Think about that. Right this second, we're creating thoughts. Perhaps this morning you created a lunch for your daughter. You created a memorable drive to school for your son. You created a kindness at the coffee shop when you bought for the man behind you because he was wearing a ball cap with U.S. Marines on it and you saw your chance to thank a veteran. We are constantly creating all through our day, and at night, we're creating through our dreams. But wait a minute. Some of you are already protesting. "I thought this was going to be a podcast, you know, for real artists, you know, poets and painters, that level of creativity." Yeah, you're right. I'm so excited about the talented artists who have agreed to join us on this journey to share their candid self-discoveries. Some shows will be chalked full of actual craft wisdom, such as how writers begin to find the stories of their lives or how they develop compelling, memorable characters. But we'll also have frank discussions with visual artists, musicians, and others about their artistic processes. But my single greatest wish for this adventure with you is this: that we broaden our perceptions about what it means to live a creative life, our most creative life. That the one who claims she is not an artist because she cannot draw or write, remember herself as a creator when she harvests the flowers from her garden as a gift for an ailing relative in the nursing home. How's that for taking a broad, bold brushstroke about living your most creative life? Are you still with me? So the concept of this podcast fluttered into consciousness as an organic listening experience, one sometimes filled, of course, with the practical craft how-tos designed to motivate or inspire our work to a whole new level, and sometimes filled with personal stories and the recordings of new work by new, exciting artists. But here's my request of you. Just show up. That's all. Just show up. And at the end of each podcast, comment on the one thing, just one thing, that is your takeaway from the segment. That one thing that you know you'll never forget from that day forward. Your takeaways are allowed to be silly ones if they're memorable to you. Come on, let's have fun with this. And maybe your takeaway that day will be poignant or provocative. All I request is that you show up and share your takeaway so that we all can benefit from acknowledging what you needed to hear that day or what you enjoyed most. Let's face it, we're all in this together and we're interconnected in ways we're just beginning to realize or perhaps remember. So let's do this. And now I'll share that personal story I mentioned at the top of this podcast. I've only shared this story with my closest of friends and with the remarkable group of women student veterans who participated in last summer's professional mentoring program called Focus Forward Fellowship, sponsored by Purdue University. If you're currently a woman military veteran who's also a college student, I so hope you'll apply for this all-expenses-paid, life-changing program that happens over 1 week each summer at Purdue U. So here's a little of what I shared with those very special women. So 10 years ago, during that summer I've already mentioned of 2008, while I was living in St. Petersburg, Florida, and teaching journalism and creative writing full-time at the University of Tampa, and limping through the aftermath of that divorce I never saw coming, I decided to attend a meditation event. My first ever meditation event. Today, oh my gosh, today we're teaching preschoolers how to meditate, but 10 years ago, I had no idea what even happened during a meditation. Still, when I read that a nearby Unity Church was the host of an upcoming group meditation, I decided to give it a try. After all, even Oprah was meditating back then, and if Oprah was meditating, it had to be safe and worth a try, right? And New Age spiritualists were suddenly, or so it seemed to me, writing and talking nonstop about the benefits of meditation. Truth is, of course, meditation is a practice as old as time itself. So that Sunday afternoon, I drove across town to the Unity Church to give this meditation thing a whirl. I arrived fairly early, or early enough I'd thought, but the church was already crowded because the ushers, as I'd discover later, were skipping rows of pews so that the two yogis would be able to roam freely among us without fear of tripping. So I slid into one of the last possible positions, which happened to be on the last row of pews. From there, at the front of the chapel, I spotted two yogis, a man and a woman. They were dressed head to toe in white. The second I felt somewhat physically settled into position, the chapel suddenly filled with the sound of music. The music was soft at first, with a Native American flute, I think, punctuated every now and then with the sounds of bells or the tones from what I'd later discover was a Tibetan singing bowl. But what alarmed me at first was the reverberation I felt throughout my body from these musical tones. And then the chanting began. I was getting a little freaked by this point, and I glanced toward the exit. I actually thought of bolting. None of this seemed to fit the framework of past scripts from my religious upbringing, scant as it was. But we're in a church, I told myself, attempting to reassure my body and my mind toward an acceptance of this new adventure. That's how I thought of it back then, an adventure. So there we were, sitting quietly, me nervously, expectant, while the chapel, filled with music, chanting, and Tibetan singing bowls. The yogis finally got around to speaking, and when they did, they softly explained that the meditation would include three rounds, and that we were to keep our eyes closed throughout all three rounds while they walked behind each of us to share their energy and love. Huh? How is that going to work? I wondered. And I heard my mind shouting, "There better not be any touchy-feely stuff while my eyes are closed and my back is to you." You see, this was a level of vulnerability that few women choose to experience, let alone a Marine Corps veteran who's been trained to maintain a state of high alertness or awareness and who always sits with a clear view of every exit in a restaurant. I finally acquiesced to this new state of vulnerability and closed my eyes. I followed the instructions on how to breathe, and after a few deep breaths, I actually felt my body relax into the music, so that I was feeling every note rather than listening to every note. Every now and then, my mind would become alert to that typical monkey brain chatter that happens up in here, and I would find myself wondering if we would know when one round ended and the other began. Would we know with our eyes closed that someone had stepped behind us to share their energy and love? The chapel was eerily quiet, other than the hypnotic melody that was coursing throughout my body. And then it happened. No sound, no touch. Yet I knew that one of the two yogis had stepped behind me. I couldn't have identified masculine or feminine, only energy, calming, loving energy. And all my fears of being vulnerable, they melted away. And too soon it seemed that energy was gone, and I felt an emptiness where just seconds before I'd felt full and satisfied, loved, and even remembered. I couldn't wait to feel it again. And this time I told myself, I will be ready. I'll pay more attention this round. I'll be able to recognize the very second the yogi steps behind me. Why I even thought this was important is beyond me. The second round happened just like the first. I never heard anything, but I did feel the sudden shift of energy and the return of that calming, reassuring, loving, remembering presence behind me that seemed to penetrate my own energy field and pour into every cell of my body. But the final round, the third round, was different. Totally different. Instead of feeling the energy shift, I heard a loud voice over my left shoulder shout into my ear, "Accept your gifts." It took everything I had to resist whirling around to see who had shouted such a thing at me, but I didn't whirl around, because I realized just as quickly that the voice hadn't come from an external source, such as from the yogi. The voice had been inside my head, inside my own mind. Only this voice sounded so sure of itself and so clear, not at all like my typical monkey brain chatter. When it was all over, I walked to my car thinking, what gifts? What gifts? I called my best friend on the drive home, told her what happened, and joked, yeah, I'd gladly accept my gifts if I just knew what they were. 8 summers later, I found myself compelled to write a book about a Vietnam veteran shaman with one arm who returns to the VA hospital. He's there to help an angry adolescent son forgive his father, a rage-filled B-52 pilot, and he's also there to help everyone's favorite nurse, Phoebe. Because you see, when Willis arrives at the VA, he discovers Phoebe locked up in the psych ward because she's finally suffered the mental breakdown she's put on hold for decades, all thanks to a decision she made in the final seconds before her field hospital was overrun with Viet Cong. So, as I was writing that scene about Willis visiting Phoebe in the psych ward, I was wondering myself, what could Willis possibly utter to Phoebe to uplift her from the depths of her lowest of low self-worth? And then I heard and typed out, Phoebe, accept your gifts. And now 10 summers after that divorce and first meditation event that produced such an indelible provocative message, I can say that the voice was imploring me to accept everything in my life, the joyful and the not so joyful, as gifts for strengthening my unique expression of light and love. You know, each of us has been gifted with a set of strengths in an order so perfectly and so divinely designed that a mirror of our design does not exist. Because not one of us is a mistake, because we have been purposefully created, encoded in such a miraculous way as to affect the most benevolent outcome for the highest best good of every situation and human being we encounter, if we will only allow and accept it to be so. And that's the key. If we will allow it to be so. What if we were to allow that the world has actually been living in anticipation of this very day when you and I would cross paths and reawaken our co-creative magical gifts? What if we truly are the ones we've been waiting for? What if you are the gift? Your listening today of this introductory podcast of Accept Your Gifts has certainly been a gift to me. Thank you. I hope you'll return every Tuesday and Thursday for new episodes, during which we'll hear from other artists as they discuss their craft and processes, and we'll discover new ways together for living our most creative lives. I'll close this segment with a quote from Albert Einstein, who said, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and forgotten the gift." End quote. Today, you and I have begun a new journey together, one that will honor the sacred gift of our intuitive, creative mind. And so it begins. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Please remember to leave a comment about the single greatest takeaway for you today. You know, that one thing you know you will remember from this day forward. Was it something silly, funny, provocative? Was it just what you needed to hear today? Please share so we can all benefit. And remember to return and listen Tuesdays and Thursdays to Accept Your Gifts, the 22-minute podcast for inspiring your most creative life.